coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
The consequences that we're looking at right now of the theft of the 2020 election are real, they're large, and they should be terrifying to a lot of people. More importantly, however, the interests behind it are vast. Welcome to the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, August 31st, 2022. This segment is going to be critically important. I ask that you pay attention, please. The links will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. It's really simple. If you're watching this on Rumble, all you have to do is click on the for links, you know, click on that. And then one more click to take you to open up the box, and you'll see all the links right there. You're going to want to follow these links, and you're going to want to commit these to some sort of hard drive. All right. America right now, we are facing our most serious national crisis since the Civil War. And it's very, very delusional to pretend otherwise. In the wake of what we saw in 2020 and the January 6th fiasco, no one should be looking for national unity right now. No one. Or that we could go about our business as usual, as if nothing has changed. America is a nation that is deeply divided as we speak. And the sooner that we realize this and deal with it, the better off we will be. I'm citing in part from an op-ed from Ted Malik and Nicholas Capaldi, American Greatness, from yesterday. Again, link will be in the program description box. The evidence of fraud, folks, that we're looking at is abundant. No matter how much the left, the communist left, no matter how much the next door neighbor Democrat or their allies want to spin it, the evidence accumulates and is accumulating. The only way to have satisfied the doubters would to have been conduct a full and serious audit of the election results. That was not done. You know that. I know that. Recounts don't matter if you're recounting counterfeit bills, right? If you've got a bag of counterfeit bills, recounts don't matter. They're still counterfeit. The left, Democrats, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, everyone I'm talking about, they'd never agree to a full audit. They never have. They never will. And that's sad, because that, just by doing so, would have gone a long way, folks, to achieving unity and healing wounds. Either confirming, without a doubt, that Biden won normally. Okay. Or not. I mean, it's as simple as that. The futility politics as usual is, well, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not right. It's futile. There's a larger misperception about what happened. The last election was not a case of Biden defeating Trump or the Democrats defeating Republicans. That didn't happen. The expressions Democrat, Republican may appear on the ballot, but the names of the real winners, this citing now Ted Malik and the co-author of American Greatness, are written in invisible ink. And as we look at it, we're reminded that it's not who votes or how many people voted, but who counts the votes and when the votes are counted. Right now, the process is controlled by an establishment or ruling class, not you, not me, not anyone at the polls, but a ruling class that encompasses both political parties, every major political player on the scene, the entirety of the intelligence community, I'm adding that, as well as members of the media, both print, social, and legacy in social media. And I'm going to tell you right now, the seemingly innocuous concept of corporate social responsibility has morphed, really, and think about this, has morphed from a mildly leftist concern, which it always was, for this concern for equality, into the idea that social media giants, this technocracy that we talk about, and their allies have this duty to control the political process and speech. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to fail miserably. I've laid out a number of things I want to get right into. And to show you how bad things are, that what we need to do, okay, what the enemy is saying, the enemy of the Republic is saying, you need to see this. As tough as this might be, you need to see this. Biden, Joe Biden, Mr. Potato Head, Joey Sixplugs was in Scranton yesterday, or Wilkes-Barre yesterday. And the stuff he said was, number one, lies. Number two, exaggerations, things made up in his head. And thirdly, very offensive. I'll pick all of the above. I want to go to, but first I want to do this very quickly and very much in order to paint you a picture of where we're at and what is going to happen. I'm telling you right now, what is going to happen, you will not expect what's going to happen next. People think they know. You don't. Look, I sometimes think I know. I don't know. But it doesn't take Dick Tracy or a detective Sherlock Holmes to figure out that we're in a heap, crap load, boatload of trouble, and it's coming our way. This morning on Morning Joe, I want to show you this. What, and you know this to be factual, what you are hearing on the left on shows like Morning Joe, 24/7 on MSNBC, regardless of the show, CNN, CNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, all of these network programming, as well as the New York Times, Washington Post, Daily Beast, especially, every one of these particular leftist, communist, in my view, concerns are giving this picture. And when I say this picture, this is from this morning, from Morning Joe, and this is right-wing MAGA terrorism, video A. Let's hit it.
Joe Biden's been doing his job, honestly. Remember, he inherited the presidency during a massive streak of uncertainty because of the COVID pandemic that also created a lot of economic uncertainty. Where Joe Biden has been over the last year and a half, he's been getting stuff done. And we're coming off of a historic sequence of events where we've gotten bipartisan gun reform done. We've gotten infrastructure done. We've gotten the CHIPS bill done. We've gotten the Inflation Reduction Act done. Joe Biden has been doing his job, and now that the legislative successes have piled up, he can now turn his focus to the broader conversation that many of us have been having about the health of democracy. And let's be very clear here. The Republican Party, the MAGA Republicans, are a domestic terrorist cell operating in America. This is a group of people who have decided that it is acceptable to use violence and threats of violence to try to achieve their political means, that it's okay to threaten law enforcement to stop them from doing their job. Well, anytime that you have a group of people dedicated and devoted to using violent rhetoric, extreme means to incite violence against other people, that is terrorism. That's what we're seeing from this version of the MAGA Republican Party.
Okay, that's Exhibit A. They are painting us out to be every single day, twice a day, three times on Sunday, all the time. They're painting us patriotic, Constitution-loving Americans as terrorists. They've done it in academia, they've done it in the political halls, they've done it even in our churches now, of course, and they've done it via the media. They're continuing to echo this, and they're painting us as ISIS type terrorists, and we are a terrorist force that needs to be dealt with. Clip B, video B, setting the stage. Biden, but this is in reference to Lindsey Graham's statement about political violence, okay, taken out of context, but stated to this group of people in Wilkes-Barre. Clip B, let's play it.
you hear some of my friends in the other team talking about political violence and how it's necessary. Think about this now. Did any of you think, even as old as I am, you've ever been in an election where we talk about it's appropriate to use force, political violence in America? It's never appropriate. Never, period. Never, never, never.
All right. The same setting, again, setting the stage, talking about us. We have weapons. We are armed thanks to our rights granted by God, but also by the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, a document they abhor. But to what end? Because Biden gets into this a little bit, and you've heard this before, and you're going to hear this again. We can do a whole show on this by itself. We will not now, but listen to what he says about potential uprisings against the government. And who's talking about that? It's the left more than the right. But listen to what he says again. This is from yesterday. Same group of people, same venue. Go ahead. Clip C.
They're not unlimited. Right now, you can't go out and buy an automatic weapon. You can't go out and buy a cannon. And for those brave right-wing Americans who say it's all about keeping America's independent and safe, if you want to fight against the country, you need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun. No, I'm not joking. Think about this. Think about the rationale we use that's used to provide this. And who are they shooting at? Shooting at these guys behind
me. Yeah. And the guys behind him were, I believe, Marine Band. But regardless. All right. This is an image that I believe reflects really the true intent of our founding fathers. And actually, this, to be frank, Google Images in Street View caught this at Eric the Tech's house. Now, I don't know how they were able to catch this in this fashion, but this is the front of Eric the Tech's house right there. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. There's the photograph, and of course, a fighter jet parked on the driveway at Eric's house. But, you know, hey, just saying, okay, we can even the score. But let me take you back a ways. Let me take you back a ways. In 2017, during the Obama era, Loretta Lynch, AG, okay, fighting Trump, fighting everything President Trump had to or stood for. What was she saying at the time, in her capacity and beyond, outside of her capacity as Attorney General, Loretta Lynch? Let's take a flashback, shall we? Loretta Lynch actually calls for blood and death in the streets fighting against President Trump. Here it is.
Individuals who have banded together, ordinary people who simply saw what needed to be done and came together and supported those ideals who have made the difference. They've marched. They've bled. Yes, some of them have died. This is hard. Every good thing is. We have done this before. We can do this again.
United States Senate Democrats. You might as well say Democrat Socialists, or you might as well say Communists at the end of that. But what was she referring to? She was referring to the people who fought President Trump's agenda initially and before and during his campaign, his inauguration, and post-inauguration. That's what she was referring to. That's Loretta Lynch. You're talking outside of both sides of your mouth. People have a very short memory, don't they? So Jimmy Fallon and Trevor Noah and that piece of crap Colbert can get up there and mock and ridicule all they want. Look, they're projecting. Now, to show you how they're projecting and to show you what is going to be happening next, this is from Morning Joe. Sorry, what I showed you from Morning Joe, I think, was yesterday. This was from Morning Joe today, the 31st of August. Yes, my notes are correct there. This is titled A Nightmare Scenario If President Trump gets a second term. And they're citing a piece in The Atlantic. There's two segments here. The first one is about 20 or 2 minutes, and the second one is about the same length of time. So let's play segment one from video one.
Meanwhile, as Donald Trump continues to hint at another presidential run, contributor for The Atlantic, Jonathan Rauch, is taking a look at what a second Trump term might look like. Jonathan joins us now, and let's read from some of your argument, where you outline how MAGA Trump supporters could derail democracy by emulating the prime minister of Hungary, Viktor Orban. And I'll quote, first, install toadies in key positions. Second, intimidate the career bureaucracy. Third, co-opt the armed forces. Fourth, bring law enforcement to heel. Even more intimidating to the president's opponents than a complacent military is his securing full control at long last over the Justice Department.
Okay, pause.
Fifth,
that. Pause
weaponize
that.
The
go back. Can you go back a frame? Just the video. Yeah, okay. Now, folks, take a look at this. This is the left playbook. This is not what President Trump would do in the second term. This is what Biden and his people are doing now. And this is what Obama did for 8 years. And this is what Clinton did back in the 90s. Install their own people in key positions. Intimidate the career bureaucracy. Co-opt the armed forces. What in the hell do you think they're doing right now and have done? Bring law enforcement to heel. Really? Tell them to stand down during the Portland and Seattle and other riots elsewhere. Even more intimidating to the president's opponents than a complacent military. Nice spelling, by the way. Is a securing full control at long last over the Justice Department. Are you kidding me? Who's got control over the U.S. Department of Justice right now under Merrick Garland? This independent executive branch. Who's got control? This is their playbook. If you can go ahead and I know you went back.
Weaponize the pardon. In Trump's first term, officials stood up to many of his illegal and unethical demands because they feared legal jeopardy. The president has a fix for that too. Sixth, the final blow. Defy court orders. And so, after 4 years, America has crossed Freedom House's line from free to partly free. The president's powers are determined by what he can get away with. He is term limited, but the MAGA movement has entrenched itself, and Trump has demonstrated in the United States what Orban proved in Hungary. The public will accept authoritarianism, provided it is of the creeping variety.
Okay, you can cut
we should
that
not
for the
be afraid.
Time. You can cut that right there. Talking about defying court orders, but defying contempt of Congress, subpoenas. Go to image three, and image three pretty much tells you all you need to know. Image three is Eric Holder. Think about that. Lois Lerner. Think about that. Think about the people who have defied congressional subpoenas prior to what we're seeing today. Eric Holder, first black U.S. Attorney General, first Attorney General found in criminal contempt of Congress. What did they do? Nothing. Nothing. How about Peter Strzok? Whatever happened to him? Oh, yeah, he's on as a commentator at MSNBC. All right, moving along. Video number one, a nightmare scenario if Trump gets a second term, The Atlantic. This, again, is from Morning Joe. And again, I apologize, but we're looking at, do we play this? No. Okay. I guess I have, wait a minute. Oh, that's right. Segment two. Thank you very much. Yeah. Sometimes I'm trying to be as linear as possible. Okay. Let's play segment two of the same source video from Morning Joe. Go ahead.
If you've got a president who's got 4 years and is determined to weaponize the Justice Department. I don't think we can stop that.
So, Jonathan, you note here in the piece that, of course, were Trump to be elected again, he would never have to face voters again, and therefore would not be answerable to them or really anyone else. And you float the nightmare scenario that he would defy court orders, that he would simply ignore the legislature if, say, Congress was in the hands of the Democrats, and would be banking on the Supreme Court to back him up. Now, we well know he has appointed 3 of the sitting justices. What, in your estimation, is the likelihood that the Supreme Court, you know, Chief Justice Roberts, still atop it, would go along with some of this in this scenario that you have dreamed up?
I think they'd go along with not very much of it. Trump, as we're now seeing in the Mar-a-Lago documents case, is perfectly capable of functioning entirely outside the law.
Okay, you can stop
I think he'd have a hard time.
In the program description box. No, no, and hell no. He's not functioning outside the law. You are. And to show you, to explain to you slowly, those people who watch MSNBC and who appear there, to explain to you, I have, I'm going to show you these attachments. Attachment one, this was a memo just issued from Attorney General Merrick Garland to all of his Justice Department personnel. This is image one. This is page one of a multi-part document. What this is, this was just issued yesterday. Memorandum for all department personnel of the Office of the Attorney General. Communications with Congress. You know what the bottom line is here, don't you? Don't communicate. So you've got this goomer on MSNBC saying, hey, you know, President Trump's people won't, they won't. While you got Merrick Garland saying, don't. And it does get into page 2 and page 3. You know what? We don't even have to show page 2 and page 3 because it's pretty much most of the same. Now, I'm going to, this is important. If you think that this started just now, that this was, for those people who don't believe that Trump was an anomaly in terms of getting elected, I want to show you something, an article that's very interesting, Obama era, sisters circle Trump. Remember the names, folks. Remember the names. Susan Rice, Avril Haines, and Lisa Monaco. Pictured on your screen, not in that order. You got Rice in the middle, Monaco on the right, I believe, and Avril Haines on the left. In her 2019 memo, Rice, Barack Obama's final national security advisor, wrote about the bond she shared with the two other women in Obama's tight-knit circle of confidants. I was extremely fortunate to have the invaluable input, support, and counsel of my sisters, as she calls them, Avril Haines and Lisa Monaco. Now, this is from her book, Tough Love, My Story of Things Worth Fighting For. Never before am I sure I had such small, I am sure had such small packages wield such national security punch. Her self-aggrandizing flex notwithstanding, no one tried to play the little women off each other. To the contrary, Haines and Monaco, Obama's deputy national security advisor and homeland security advisor, respectively, and Rice played the American people by helping engineer one of the biggest frauds in U.S. political history, and that, of course, is the Trump-Russia election collusion hoax. Their sisterhood presumably strengthened during huddles in the months leading up to the 2016 presidential election, working off intelligence collected by the CIA director John Brennan, Haines' former boss. Oh, it's all in the family. It's so incestuous, isn't it? Indicating that the Kremlin planned to sabotage Americans' election, Rice, Monaco, and Haines convened meetings in the Situation Room to weigh the mounting evidence of Russian interference and generate options for how to respond. That was reported in the Washington Post in June of 2017. The same people then under Obama are the same people here today under Biden. I want to get next very quickly Again, remember the names and remember the playbook. Okay. Next. This is from Dan Bongino's program. This is an extended source of video. This is from his program. I think it was, well, it's episode 1841. I don't know if it was the 29th or 30th, but regardless, let's play a segment one, because this is important to explain where we're at, where things are going, who's behind it, and why. Segment one.
I can't repeat this enough during the show, that personnel are policy. The people you hire in government are policy. No, we've got laws. We've got a constitution that protects us. It doesn't protect you against anything. It is. I'm really sorry to have to inform a lot of the swampy Republicans, not you, the conservatives out there, you already get it, but the swampy Republicans and shameful far left radical leftists who keep, oh, we got a constitution that protects against itself. Doesn't protect against anything. Let me just say that again. Yeah. The Constitution doesn't protect against anything. Fidelity to the Constitution and allegiance to the principles embedded in it, that's what protects you against getting your civil rights violated. What does the Constitution mean if you hire a bunch of people who use it as toilet paper? I can't emphasize this enough. The Constitution to the left is a suggestion. Fire everyone who took an oath to the Constitution and then turned around and did this, if you know what I mean. I'll show you.
All right. Think about that, and think about George W. Bush's remark about the Constitution. It's on the right. It's on the left. They're laughing at us. We are not in a representative republic anymore. We are in oligarchy at best right now, and we are the targets of their wrath, because they know that we know, and they're coming for us. They're coming for our guns. They're coming to kill us. They're coming to starve us. They're coming to take away our heat and our everything that's good. They're coming to take from us and then kill us. End of story. Segment two, same broadcast.
I'm about a 98 on 100 pissed off scale today, because this Tim Tebalt story in the FBI, if you haven't heard it, I'm going to go into it today. It's not. It's just an atrocity what's happening. You got a bunch of people given guns and badges, the ability to serve a search warrant, arrest you, potentially take your life, who are just full-time political activists. Fire everyone involved in this, and accept no substitutes for that.
All right, let's go. I mean, you can tell Dan Bongino, who has worked in that arena. You know, I as a civilian in the 90s, I did work with the Department of Justice and the FBI, and in the 2000s with the FBI. And I will tell you this, okay, you cannot, there's absolutely, at this point, you've got to disband, shatter to the wind the absolute entire entity. Quick story. I was working a case in central Ohio. This was a very, very, very large corporate espionage case in Ohio, a theft, interstate theft, intellectual property theft, but a litany of things that the investigation involved myself and the president of this firm, the chief of police of that area, the sheriff of that area, and then they put in they tossed in an FBI agent. Listen to this, because I was running a stakeout with the aforementioned parties. And this was like the final days of the stakeout. The FBI sent over an agent, brand new, out of the academy, from the Bronx. Never ran a stakeout before, never ran any kind of law enforcement operation before, had a badge and a gun and a Bronx dialect, accent, clearly. That doesn't belong in the middle of Ohio, in an attitude that it's his way or the highway. Not a problem, right? The bottom line, this guy was an accountant. Never, ever, ever, ever served as an FBI agent. They're going right now. The FBI is filled with lawyers, accountants, and other people who have no business being in there. And they're all, absolutely every single one of them, they're all politicized. Let's go to clip three.
Because I'm unusually ticked off today, because I can't believe how bad this is getting and that there are still people out there who are defending the FBI in their atrocious handling of their responsibilities and their constant interference in our political process. It's over. It is time to disband this organization, take the funds, move these people around, take the counterterrorism role, move it around, increase funding if we need to. I have no issue with that. I'm all for defending law enforcement and counterterror. But this organization is broken. It is not, it doesn't appear to be fixable anymore. I say it doesn't appear because I don't want to hedge, but there's always potential for a miracle. Fire every single person involved in political targeting of Donald Trump and anyone they don't like. Everyone. Personnel or policy, it's a fact. Fire everyone. It's the only way. The evidence of a corrupted FBI is everywhere. This breaks yesterday. It's just another. Jen, well, I don't want to say it broke because we've known about this supervisory agent out of Washington, Timothy Tebold, for a long time. But my gosh, Joe, how many examples you need? Comey, McCabe, Stroke, Lisa Page, Priestep, Kevin Kleinsmith, Timothy Tebow, Brian Auden, Azra Turk. The list goes on and on and on of FBI people knowingly involved in political targeting and candidly doing nothing to stop it, in many cases, advancing it. This is outrageous.
It's cancer.
This is not like it. Oh my gosh, you're not kidding. This is not like a couple bad apples. It's not. By the way, I'm going on Fox and Friends tomorrow at 8:30 about just this topic.
All right.
You know what I mean?
All right. Note that he's going on Fox and Friends. I premature pause there. That's my fault. He's going on Fox, and he says, essentially, he does not agree with members of Fox. I don't know how long he's going to be at Fox, given his change of attitude. The bottom line here, this is not broken, Dan. If I would say anything, the FBI is not broken. It's been weaponized. As I laid out earlier, it's been weaponized. Everything else you're saying is correct, absolutely. But this has been weaponized under O'Biden. Really under Obama, then Biden. O'Biden works for me. Let's go to the next clip very quickly. Next clip, I think it's segment four.
Unbelievable. FBI special agent who opened Trump investigation reportedly escorted out of the bureau. You may be saying, oh, wow, this is, look at it. You can read this in my newsletter today, bungino.com/newsletter if you'd like. Wow, finally, they're cracking down. No. I'll explain what's going on. It has nothing to do with cracking down. They note that this article in the Washington Times, written by Kerry Pickett, appears to be updated. Now states that Tebalt, who was involved in pushing this Trump investigation, quote, abruptly resigned, but that he was forced to leave his post and cites two unnamed FBI officials. Just the news was unable to confirm the Times' report. Whistleblowers allege big-time FBI supervisor folks Tebalt concealed the partisan nature of evidence against Trump, they're talking about, from FBI Director Wray and Attorney General Garland to secure their approval to open an investigation into former President Trump in 2020 unrelated to the raid, according to information made public by Senator Grassley. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to drop a BS bomb here, but I don't want to cause you guys any unnecessary editing. What else, damn it, do you need to hear? They fabricate a Russian collusion scandal. The director on down knows about it. They then lie about it to cover it up. They lie about CIA information. They then sick Bob Mueller and take FBI investigation to go and continue an investigation into a knowingly false allegation. They spy on a presidential candidate, the president of the United States. There's an IG investigation. You would think, am I crazy, fellas? You would think you'd be like, hey, guys, we got busted. Maybe let's zip it up and stop showing our asses to the American people. No, no. They doubled down. This guy, T-Bolt, was apparently so unfazed by any of this that according to this report, with these smoking gun emails, that's for a different report from the New York Post. It's about Hunter Biden. It makes it even worse. But according to this latest report by Grassley, this guy, T-Bolt, was involved in doubling down on Trump. This is astonishing.
They are doubling down on all of us, just so you know. Do you think that they're going to stop? No, they're not going to stop. I've got just a couple more clips. I'm going to be bringing on a guest that we haven't seen in a couple of weeks, Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com, and momentarily. And I want to get his take on the raid at of documents at Mar-a-Lago, constitutionality of all of this and what's taking place. And he's the man to do it. And I'm glad to have him back this week. Okay, so the next segment, very quickly, this one's only 30 seconds in length, but I thought it was important. Go ahead.
Here, this is what I was talking about. Another article, New York Post. Top FBI agent, talking about T-Bolt, resigns amid claims he shielded Hunter Biden from the probe. Wait, what? So you're telling me here, according to these allegations, the guy who's pushing another Trump probe after the last Trump probe, on top of the probe before that, on top of the Mueller probe, that this is the same guy who is alleged to have shielded Hunter Biden from another FBI probe? In a letter to FBI.
So think about that. You might have to go back and re-listen to that. But think about that. Does that sound to you like a broken weapon or a broken FBI, a broken Department of Justice? Or does that sound to you like a weaponized Department of Justice? It's in your face. We are laughing at you. We don't care what you say. We don't care. We don't care because we're going to do what we want to do. And then you have Morning Joe and Mika, you know, the star child of Zbigniew Brzezinski, Trilateral Commission, CFR, Party of Davos, dead now. Talking about how bad we are. Next clip, same broadcast. I think this is clip 6.
On here, before you think, oh my gosh, this guy T-Bolt was, according to this report, was escorted out. Wow, this is a great start. The FBI is finally cleaning up. That's hilarious. Here's what this is really about. Remember this from, what was it, just about a month ago? Senator John Kennedy, a Republican, gets Christopher Wray, FBI director, up on the Hill. And I want you to notice something really interesting here. He calls out Ray about T-Bolt right there. That's the only reason you're seeing any of this happen. This has nothing to do with them trying to clean up the FBI. They're just trying to avoid more public scrutiny, anticipating the Republicans are going to take back the House. Here, watch for yourself.
Isn't it true that Mr. Tebow, Agent Tebow, excuse me, and FBI Supervisory Intelligence Analyst Brian Otan covered up derogatory information about Mr. Hunter Biden while working for the FBI?
Well, again, I want to be very careful not to interfere with ongoing personnel matters. I should say that when I read the letter that describes the kinds of things that you're talking about, I found it deeply troubling.
It is troubling.
And it is totally...
And it's not about their political beliefs.
Right.
It's not about their political beliefs. It's about that this is a senior employee at the FBI with years of experience going on social media and tweeting this kind of stuff.
All right.
He's talking about T-Bolt. But don't worry, fellas. Christopher Wray is deeply troubled by it. Deeply troubled by it. So deeply troubled by it that they only allegedly removed T-Bolt from the office. I say allegedly because I don't trust any unnamed sources anymore, ever. I'm not trying to play the cutesy game.
Roger that.
Although everybody's entitled to innocence until proven guilty. I'm not doing that. I'm saying allegedly because I don't trust anyone. I'm not even sure this happened. Why not? Don't laugh. I'm not even sure this happened. The FBI could have leaked the story to make it believe, make you believe they're really cracking down now, fellas. That's how little I trust these people.
Okay, and to round this out, that was six, right? Okay, thanks, Eric the Tech. Folks, give him a hand. Okay, studio audience, hand, beautiful. All right, segment seven to wrap it up, and then we'll bring Richard Proctor on, provostinstitute.com, link in the program description box. This is segment seven or clip seven, same broadcast. This wraps it up, and it's important, but I would urge you to watch the entire broadcast. Again, regardless of what you think of Dan Bongino, whoever's talking, if I cite Alex Jones or if I cite Dan Bongino or Steve Bannon, it doesn't matter what you think of them. Listen to the content, because the content has been vetted, and I, of course, vetted this as well. This is the final clip. Go ahead and play it.
Now, from the I swear you cannot make this up file, here is Tebalt, the same guy, in a video he did for the FBI about how the FBI is intimately involved in looking into like election fraud type of stuff. You mean election fraud? Like falsely accusing people of being involved in Russian disinformation who exposed the former Vice President Biden's son for a shady deal with China? You mean like that? No, no, not that election fraud. This is the same guy. The same guy. Take a look at this.
The FBI is charged with protecting the rights of all Americans, including their right to vote. While the responsibility to ensure a fair election process lies primarily at the state and local level, the FBI takes allegations of election-related violations of federal law seriously.
We have this file draw, like you can't possibly make this up. So if these allegations are true, that he pushed the Trump investigation, Tebow, while squashing a Hunter Biden one, you won't you find it a little strange he's the same guy talking about how the FBI is like intimately involved in election security, despite the fact that they've inserted themselves into multiple elections now? You don't find this a little bit wackadoodles, nuts? Again, here's another video. These are the people. Now you see why I'm being so hard on these folks. I'm not going to be lectured by anyone. I'm telling you, I've got a lot of, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. I've got a lot of friends in Fox and in the radio and elsewhere who feel differently. They think, oh, you're being too hard on the FBI. I am not. The agency is broken. They have failed repeatedly, repeatedly. And there's a cost to this. It's not a failure like they missed a bank robbery, no one got hurt, and $100,000 is missing. That's bad enough. It's that they failed. They missed multiple domestic terror attacks. They targeted parents as domestic terrorists at school boards. They've been politically targeting Donald Trump and MAGA people now for almost 6 years. Enough is enough already, man. Clean your freaking act up. Or get rid of them. You're not defunding anything. Take the funds and move them to other entities that are actually doing their jobs. These are the goons right now, some of them running portions of the FBI. You got this guy, and then you got, remember this? This is Peter Strzok, by the way, not long ago. Peter Strzok, one of the lead investigators into the spying operation on Donald Trump. You would think this guy, after being humiliated, but him and his girlfriend openly on text discussing a plot to target Donald Trump. You would think this guy would be humiliated. This interview he did, this is to show you how bad the FBI is. This guy was a major league boss in the FBI. This is him after it. Not an ounce of contrition at all. He doubles down on the, oh no, Trump, it's that they got, it's his tax returns. It's definitely, these people are crazy. Listen to this.
I think that's a miscarriage of justice.
What do you attribute it to, then?
Political pressure. Improper political pressure from the White House and the Department of Justice.
Now, Strzok is still worried about unfinished business. Do you believe the Russians still have hidden leverage over the president?
I think that's a fair assumption.
Why?
I think when you look at President Trump and the efforts he has taken to fighting tooth and nail to prevent, for instance, the release of his tax records, there is something there that he doesn't want out.
Folks, this man is a disgusting piece of human waste. I don't even know how to describe this guy. He, him and his, this small cabal of losers nearly toppled this country with a false charge of basically treason by Donald Trump. They caused untold damage to the FBI's reputation. And this loser, disgrace to his family, his wife, his friends, his neighborhood, the FBI, the country, a disgrace, is out there on television promoting deranged, lunatic conspiracy theories again. And these people, what was that, NBC? They give him a platform? This guy is a sociopath.
All right, there you go. You can cut right
what
there.
What a nut.
Okay, so there you have it. To what end? Again, the weaponization is nearly complete. People like myself, people like Eric the Tech, people like all of my guests, including Richard Proctor, people who care about the Constitution, who care about the Republic, we are in the crosshairs, and they're coming for us. I can tell you right now, I don't know when. I don't know. I don't know the particulars, but I do know this. We are in the crosshairs, and if you don't accept the fact that the FBI's raid siege at a former president's house, now again, I'm very interested in hearing Richard Proctor's take on this. It was a defining moment for this country. Then I don't know what to tell you. Before I go any further, I want to thank all of you who support this broadcast. And I also want to thank our limited number of corporate sponsors that we hand select. One of is Honey. I'm going to tell you right now. Today's episode is sponsored by Honey, the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or your computer. Now, look, I have mixed feelings about shopping online. I do it a lot because I'm looking for the best bargains. But I'm also, when I'm looking for the best bargains, I'm also feeling like I have to have some sort of attendant promo code to slip in there because they always ask you for it, right? Well, thanks to Honey, manually searching for those coupon codes, it's gone. It's a thing of the past. Honey is a free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. It's really simple how it works. Just imagine you're shopping at one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button appears, and all you have to do is just click apply coupons. I mean, to me, that's easy, and it's that easy. Just wait a few seconds. Honey searches for the coupons it can find for that site. When it finds a working coupon, it'll apply it, and all you have to do is watch the prices drop. Eric the Tech and I did this on a piece of studio equipment. When we had an in-studio guest, we were short a piece of equipment. We saved, I think it was like $9.50 on a piece of equipment that was $101. I don't know why 101, why not 100, but okay. But we saved $9.50. And it was a wonderful thing. And we save money, for example, if we have staff meetings, we get food delivery. And, you know, it's very easy to use. It's extremely easy to use. Honey just does not work, by the way, on your desktop. It works on your iPhone as well. Just activate it on Safari on your phone and save on the go. Eric the Tech taught me how to do that, and it works. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. I never, never, ever, ever, you know this. I don't recommend something I don't use. And I use this. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hagman. That's joinhoney.com/Hagman. You will be glad you did. You'll thank me later. That's joinhoney.com/Hagman. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com is with me right now. Thank you for your patience, Mr. Proctor. I hope you're feeling better. I had a couple of emails saying, how's Richard feeling? I'll let you answer.
Well, Richard's doing fine, except he can't get anything done. So notice my it's worse than it was. Well, it's going to get worse still.
Oh, what are we going to do, brother?
I finally got to the cardiologist nearly a month ago. Oh. They had me do a test that took 3 weeks to get scheduled. That test was done last Thursday. I had reports of the report on Friday. The doctor's office didn't get it till yesterday afternoon, and as far as I know, they haven't done anything with it yet.
Well, let's give him a call right now. I'm kidding, but you can't. No,
you can't. It's a It's a calling's, you know what they call those, callers bank. They just have everybody talking, and you can't get to the doctor. The same telephone number takes you to a call-in bank, and those people don't know nothing. They try, but they haven't got any information. It's a ball. You know, in the days of yore, this is probably clear back in the 1800. Well, not quite that far back. But in the days of yore, we were able to go to a doctor. He was able to order an item. He got the report. They told us it was there. It was smooth. Now I go to the doctor. I get it. I get told to go someplace. But I go there. They say, no, we can't serve you because you got to have another doctor see it. We can't serve you. Then they try to get in touch with that doctor, and they can't seem to get that done for a week and a half. And then that doctor sends, and that's not what they want. And after they get what they want, then they check with the insurance company, and the insurance company says, oh, well, we haven't got that yet here. Oh, my loss. The doc told me nearly 4 months ago he wanted me in surgery in 2 weeks. And I don't believe it'll be 2 weeks from today, and it's already been 4 months.
Well, I'll tell you what, you give another 4 months and you might be standing on your head next time we talk.
Yes, that's right, because it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Oh my,
it really
gosh.
Does. The doc told me it was just going to keep getting worse and worse.
Well, the left broke our, in my view, the entirety of the government broke our healthcare system, because I have to get scheduled for surgery on my jaw, the bone graft. There's two surgeons that have to work together at the same time, and I have to get stuff like you did, the EKG stuff.
You have a harder deal than I have.
But you know what? The same thing. Okay, test, and then they have to look at it and say, okay, you go ahead, and then
anyway,
schedule.
Anyway, things are going well. I'm still doing everything I'm supposed to do, nearly. You know, keeping track, going all the broadcasts I need to be on. People call, I answer their emails. I got an email this morning, for example, from a young lady in Virginia. This young lady said to me, you know, I need you to explain to me what the government's doing with the student loans and the PENT and the grants, the pay. What I haven't
the,
got
the Pell
word.
Grants.
Say it again.
The Pell Grants.
Yep. Okay. What are we doing with that? How come I'm getting $20,000 off on the Pell Grants? I'm getting $10,000 off on the debt. But what's happening? Well, let me tell you. This is my answer to it. The problem is you're expecting the government to do something sensible. You're expecting to be able to understand what the government's doing. They don't know what they're doing. A Pell Grant by words, by net, is a grant. So none of it's due, not $20,000, not $50,000. If you get a $100,000 grant, it's all yours. It's a grant. If you get a $100,000 loan, you got to pay it back. Who gives you the loan? Well, the banks do. How is it? It's guaranteed by the government. That's why you can't get a bankruptcy on a student debt, because it's guaranteed by the government, who takes care of the bankruptcy laws. So you can't get clear of those debts. They go forever and forever. Now they're gonna let you have $10,000. In many cases, that's not even a tenth of what the people owe. Come on, folks. Why do you think that the government's giving us something? And now I'm discovering, as I pay attention to the places I pay attention to, that the government has decided, the CDC has decided, masks are optional. Let them choose what they want. It's that people can choose what they want, whatever protection they want to have. Oh, and the 6 foot distance didn't have any basis at all. It was just made up. Now that's what they're saying. Everybody's happy. Oh boy, the government's coming around. They understand. No, they don't. An election's coming up. The day after the election, it'll all be handed right back on you. Anything the government gives you can be taken away. And today, anything you earn can be taken away by the government, because we have allowed things to go get absolutely skewonkers. You guys just talked about the FBI for a long time. I listened. You know, the very, very first thing that needs to be discussed is the FBI even legal?
Thank you.
It's not even legal. The supreme law of the land says that the states do that, that the federal government doesn't have a thing to stand on. It's not constitution. It is not legal. But now it's corrupt, weaponized, and unconstitutional in addition. It's weaponized. Why? Well, they all had weapons. Even back in the 20s, they had weapons because they had shootouts. But the point I make, it's corrupt. Maybe it wasn't so corrupt then. People thought, oh, it was corrupt. Not like it is today. Not like it is today. Next, that stuff about the raid on Trump's place in Florida. Come on, folks. Well, you know, was that okay? Oh, come on. Why do you ask these questions? There's the book. There's the answer, you guys. And if you don't know how to read that, there's the other answer right there. And by the way, it's going on. I'm starting to do the Saving the Constitution on ebook style.
Good.
The first one's coming out on what they call Cross Current Digital. I've signed the contract and sent them the EPUB that they want. I hope. I've sent it to them. I haven't heard back. The point is that I'm trying to get this thing out to people so people can subscribe to Cross Current Digital. They can actually purchase a book from Cross Current Digital. It's an ebook now. Not an audio book. No, we haven't done that. Just an ebook. You still have to read. Oh, that's too bad. You have to read. Oh, that's asking way too much to read. Let me read you, READ, what the Constitution Amendment 4 says about what happened to Trump's house in Florida.
All right.
Okay. It says, shall not be. Okay. I'm going to start at the beginning. The right of the people to be secure in their persons against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall be issued but upon a probable cause supported by an oath or affirmation, and that probable cause and oath goes through the judges, and particularly describing what you can do and what you can't do, and you can't do anything more than that. These guys just poured in and grabbed anything they wanted. That's not how the warrant reads. But you must remember, they don't care about the Constitution. They've never read it, and they don't care about it. You know, you guys keep saying, well, is that constitutional? No. 99% of what the government does, the federal government, is unconstitutional. You don't have to ask. It's unconstitutional. The FBI is unconstitutional. The Army, more than 2 years, is unconstitutional. I can go on and on and on. All of these museums that all the presidents do that you pay for are only unconstitutional. If they want to have it, they should pay for it. Unconstitutional, we should pay for it. In my, I think it's volume 2, there are 30 pages of over 1,000 government agencies, and that was published in 2006. They're all unconstitutional, and you pay for every day.
Wow.
If the federal government shut down, we wouldn't even notice it.
True, sadly.
The businesses would take over and do all the stuff, and we wouldn't even notice it.
Okay. All right. Let me get back to the warrant, just real quick, revisit the warrant. By the way, the warrant that was signed by Bruce Reinhard, the magistrate judge, even before I get to the warrant, because you mentioned that, but even before I get to that, have we ever seen any case where a previous president, but most importantly, a potential candidate for the upcoming election, being the subject of a raid by the Department of Justice? Have we ever seen that before?
Well, I don't know about it. It could have been done, but I don't know about it.
I mean, I know we had some Andrew Jackson stuff go on.
You must remember that we only hear about the stuff the media wants us to hear about.
Right.
If you guys know about it, and that fellow just talking, he knows about it, that means two, and their audiences. How many people in the country? 330 million. How many people are paying any attention to anything that's going on in alternate media?
26.
1% maybe.
Yeah.
So 99% of the people don't know anything that's going on, and they'll never learn it on ABC or the alphabetized stuff. They'll never learn it there, but that's all they watch. They glue themselves to it to find out what's going on. And all they do is they glue themselves to find out what propaganda they're going to be fed today. Don't listen to any broadcast, any news broadcast, any one of them, not any one. You say, well, it's local. No, it isn't local. It's all vetted by the Illuminati organization.
Sure.
Everything you hear is vetted by them. Everything. The CFR is the arm. They're involved vetting everything. You don't hear anything that's not okayed by the CFR, which means the Illuminati. Folks, and the Illuminati is not fiction. Folks, it is not fiction. Why do I know that? Because the World Economic Forum is a major part of the Illuminati. And it's been going so on. They're talking about it being started by somebody just recently. Well, like in the 50s, maybe. No. The Economic Forum, World Economic Forum, has been going on since the aughts of the 1900s. Aught 6, aught 7, aught 8. It's difficult to find, but it's there. That's the one they started. They've been going on ever since. It was the 50s when the Bilderberger Group started. And they're trying to pretend like the World Economic Forum didn't get started till recently or not too long ago. Garbage. I have a book called Prologue to Love that teaches all about that, that was written by Taylor Caldwell decades ago. And she teaches in that book about the World Economic Forum. She doesn't call it that, but that's what she goes to see in Europe. Come on, folks. History's being changed every day by the media. Every day.
Sadly, you're true. Now let me go back to something else, a different topic. You mentioned these school loans being paid off. There was
no $10,000.
Well, okay, but there was also a plan in there to pay off a certain amounts beyond the Pell Grant stuff. Okay, a plan to pay off student loans for those making under a certain amount of money, there were some conditions attached. My question is, and this echoes Ralph Norman, the lawmaker from South Carolina, did Biden, by stroking that paper with his pen, violate the Congress's purse and power of the purse?
Well, of course he did.
Okay.
He doesn't have the right.
Didn't think so.
By the way, folks, let me just say, the stroke of the pen by any president is garbage. It is not. It's not law. It's an opinion, and it applies only to the executive department. That's why they call them executive orders. It applies only to the executive department, period. Not to you, not to me, not to any state. I'm in Article 1, Constitution, you know that book. Article 1's all legislative power, and that's what Biden's doing, legislative power. Herein granted shall be vested in a Congress which shall consist of a Senate and a House. And that's it. Supreme Court doesn't have any lawmaking. The president doesn't have any lawmaking. The various alphabet stuff they send to us, they don't have any lawmaking capability. Regulations are not laws. So if they're going to fine you on a regulation, tough. It's not a law. Tough. I'll tell you what, everybody. I'm going to line up 10 people, and I'm going to tell 8 of them that they owe me money, and I've decided it because I wrote it on a piece of paper. Does that make it true? That's exactly what goes on with the federal government. Exactly that. The IRS is a completely unconstitutional organization. I don't give a damn what the Supreme Court in 1916 said. They didn't know what they don't know. Well, I'm not going to say it the way I would like to. They don't know some bodily appendage from a hook or from the hole in the ground. You guys figure out what I said.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are, this whole federal thing is horrible. And we don't do a thing about it. We say, oh, well, it'll go back. Everything is fine. I don't know.
Well, we can be as upset. And I look, all of us are upset. At least those who, the ones that are paying attention. I don't see any way around this. I don't see any way out of this. I believe we're being set up to be taken out. Joe Biden, by the way, tweeted earlier today, and I'm going to read this to you. But by the way, he also said yesterday, do you realize that the bullet out of an AR-15 travels 5 times as rapidly as a bullet shot out of any other gun? Okay. Yeah. People look at that and say, oh yeah. Okay. Which is a bunch of crap. But here's what he tweeted. Joe Biden tweeted yesterday, I believe it was, or maybe even early this morning. The extreme MAGA Republicans have made their choice to go backwards, full of anger, violence, hate, and division. We've chosen a different path. Forward, the future, unity, hope, and optimism. We choose to build a better America. And I echo one of the respondents to that tweet, kiss my ass, because that's about right. Go ahead, sir.
You know, let's just think about that. We're going to build a better America. Well, isn't that what MGA says? Make America great again. Isn't that what it says? So we're going to throw that one out and we're going to build a better one over here. Oh, by the way, the better one is done by sending police in to arrest you if you disagree with them. The better America is done by making people parents domestic terrorists if they complain about the education of their children that they are paying for. That's all going to be a better America. Yeah. You know, I saw something last night on a movie I was watching just a little bit. It said, we're a democratic country. It was talking about Cuba. We're a democratic country. Yes, sirree. Now, in Cuba in the 50s, we're a democratic country. Everybody's the same. Oh, some are more better the same than others. But we'll arrest anybody that disagrees with them and shoot them or torture them in prison. But we're a democratic country. Don't worry about it. Do you think maybe there's a use of a word there to try to make people think one thing when it's actually another? Do you think maybe there's a word there that's wrong?
Not a whole lot of words there to choose from. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe there's a word there that's wrong. Yeah. They should have said, we're a tyranny. Because that's what they are. We are. It's tyranny.
And come on, this is where we're headed. I mean, we're there now, actually.
But you see, nobody cares. Nobody cares.
You care. I care. Others care.
That's two of us. What about the other 329.999 million?
And there it is. You know, we always talk about what it's going to take to get them off their butts and get everyone off their butts. We still have people in jail every day. Every day. Look. The people in the gulags in Washington and surrounding areas from January 6th need to be out.
Period. Oh, yeah, there shouldn't be any question about it, but we don't do anything about it as a group.
Correct. Why the hell not? Why not?
Because we're very happy with our TV, our sports games, and our soap operas. We're very happy with that. So don't bother me. Don't bother me.
I think it might have been when you were scheduled to be on. I can't remember. We've had so many things happen here. Somebody cut our internet line, and that took out our telephone, the cable, or not the cable, but the news feed, our ability to talk. And I got to tell you something, okay? I was never so relaxed as that period of 12, 14 hours than I was ever. But I think people need to get off their backsides and to start moving in the direction that we need to move. Go ahead.
You know, I live in a neighborhood, let's just say 500 or 600 people not too far from me. And of that 500 or 600 people, I have offered over and over and over to help them understand the Constitution. Oh, he's just a radical. That's the sentence. And not one of them evidences any desire to know anything about what's happening politically. Not one. Not one.
Why? I mean, the crime, I think, that we have is our comfort.
Yeah. I mean, I've specifically invited a couple to come on over. We'll do stuff. No, I'm too busy. I got to watch a movie show tomorrow night. I got to watch the final episode of Who Killed JR or some such thing.
Well, you're dating yourself, but go ahead.
I know, I am, I know. I haven't watched the TV. I haven't watched the TV so long. I have no idea what programs are on. I remember Dick and Jane. Oh, no.
So, spoiler alert, it was a dream. Okay. yeah.
You know, they went up a hill, Dick and Jane did. Yes, they did.
Yeah, and they also came. No, never mind.
A lot of fun. There was a lot of fun in Dick and Jane.
I, with your permission, I don't want to take too much of your time out, but I do want to show you this, because what you just said to me represents everything. To me, this represents everything. Everything that you are talking about, everything that others aren't talking about, everything that people who listen and watch this show are talking about. Let me know when you get it. I just want to show you this. Eric the tech, just give me a yell. I'll hear you. Okay. Hang on a minute. This Richard, by the way, Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com. The link will be in the program description box. Do me a favor. When is your book, your ebook coming out,
Richard? Well, I signed the contracts last week. Sent the document yesterday. All right. When is it supposed to come out? I would think today. Yeah. I don't know the details of that kind of stuff.
And I'll tell you something. Okay. Ebooks, as much as I don't like them, I like the hard copies. Ebooks have their place. And consider it a favor for all of you listeners and viewers to get Richard's book, Saving the Constitution, via ebook or by regular book, and share it with others, because never in our history have we been more on the opposite side of the Constitution than we are today. In order to get back, you got certain boxes, right? You got the ballot box, you got the soap box, and then you got the cartridge box. But how about before we get there, how about let's look at, you know, what our founding fathers have to say. And you know what? I would walk. It's the other thing, too. And we're doing this. By the way, I haven't told you about this yet, but I personally am walking into, because the school year starts here next, well, in about 3 weeks, well, 2 weeks, actually. They start now, then there's a break. Anyway, I'm going to walk into three different high schools, three copies of your book, Saving the Constitution. And I want to see, number one, what they say, and number two, if they put it on the shelves, and thirdly, if the history teachers will cite from that book.
Excellent.
I want, and listen, folks, this is what you and I can do. This is what they're afraid of.
They won't let me. They won't put one of my books officially in the place. Right. So it's got to be done unofficially.
Right. So they're afraid of us as parents and grandparents. Of us showing them what real history looks like. Now, okay, here it is. I know it's a little bit extended, but you were talking about this. I don't know. I can't authenticate this clip. I don't know. This is a young girl speaking, but it reflects exactly what you said. And tell me, and folks, you as well, respond to this. Tell me if this doesn't sound like the situation we're in right now. Here it is, and then you got the floor on the other side. Go ahead.
Last spring break, I went on a trip with 100 other Harvard undergraduates to Israel. It was one of the most extraordinary experiences of my life, and I will always be grateful to Harvard for that. I recalled the trip with awe and joy, but a certain moment rattled me. Our group attended a Shabbat dinner at a Tel Aviv synagogue. The rabbi proclaimed, "Welcome to Israel. You are all here from America, the best country in the world." He paused, but not a single person clapped. The Israelis stared in disbelief. Americans are the freest, most privileged people on earth. Yet many of us are ashamed to show any, even the tiniest trace of national pride. Why? Because we Americans of recent generations have been swaddled in prosperity and security, and in consequence have become ungrateful for the blessings we enjoy. It requires vigorous athletic imagination for most of us to consider the basic brutal realities that much of the world experiences daily. Even worse, we have consumed a cultural diet that reduces America to its ugliest moments and dismisses its noble ideals and accomplishments as jingoism. This nation saved the world from global catastrophe 3 times in the 20th century. This nation has grown to treat racial, ethnic, and religious minorities with equality and respect compared to other places and times on earth. This is the nation where people are not constrained by their gender, religion, or class, but can work to achieve a better life. In this nation, we can criticize our government, secure in the knowledge that we will rise the next morning and our country will still respect our rights. We view these things to be our birthright, our permanent and guaranteed condition, but they are not. They exist only because past generations have sacrificed to secure and maintain them. And to our discredit, we have used these blessings not to strengthen our country, but to tear it down. We members of this university and we Americans have shirked our responsibility as the most privileged cohort on earth. We have remained cringingly silent in the face of corrosive ideas, woke culture, that has corrupted our institutions and severed the bonds that hold our country together. The New York Times won a Pulitzer Prize for reporting that the sole purpose of the American Revolution was to preserve slavery. And we remain silent. The Oregon Department of Education asserts that showing your work and finding the right answer in math is white supremacist. And we remain silent. The American Medical Association has stated that the U.S. should remove gender from birth certificates. And we remain silent. Howard Zinn, the author of the most widely read history text in American public schools, said that America has done, quote, more bad than good. And we remain silent. We are ashamed to be American. The shame should be on us. Too many use their right to free speech to advocate suspending it for all who disagree with them. What a litany of dishonesty. We are using our privilege to undermine the very system that has given us that privilege. America, despite its failings, is the last great stand on earth. We must speak up against this now, or our civilization will face a somber reckoning.
Richard, thoughts?
Excellent.
That's what
she couldn't have put it better.
Right. Now, again, I can't, I don't know where that came from. I don't know who that is. That was sent to me by a source.
But it doesn't matter. Right. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter where she's from. What doesn't matter.
I like to give credit.
It's what she said.
Yeah.
And everybody should be listening to what she said, not who she is or where she's from or vetting or anything. It is accurate what she's saying. I mean, I've lived overseas many years, okay? I've lived overseas. Let me see. If I add those up, about 6 years, I have lived in other countries total.
Wow. Okay.
And they really, really look to America. They look, I'm an American. Oh, they think that's the best thing since sliced bread. They want to be like us. And I wish we were doing what they want us, what they think we are doing. Is that the way to say it? I wish we were doing and had the things they think we are doing and have.
Yeah, that is. I'm not sure they think that anymore.
Yeah, it's going downhill. You know, in the 40s, we were heralded as the best economic country in the world. I mean, we were at the very top. Okay, in my books, you'll see it in my books, the new book, the new book about banking will show it even blunter. But let me just say what we've done. We were the top. In 2014, we were number 3. In 2022, we're number 17. What do you think is happening? Number 17, guys. Small countries around the world have a better economic program, better economy than we do. Yet we used to have never had shortages. Now it's commonplace. You go to a store, well, we our supplier doesn't have that. We can't get that, so you have to buy a substitute. But I want that particular brand. I'm sorry, they don't do it anymore. And that's what's going on everywhere. You go there to buy an item, it's not there. Is it not there because that store doesn't stock it? or is it not there because the store can't get it anymore? And they don't answer that question. Folks, we are going downhill on a sled, and the hill is very steep. And the sled's runners have been waxed up really good. Folks, and we sit back and pretend like it's, oh, well, you know, we'll buy the other product. That's okay. But that's not how America is supposed to be. America is supposed to have everything we want on the shelves in the stores we're going to that stock it. I mean, I don't expect to go find bolts and nuts in the grocery store, but I do expect to find all the vegetables and all the cans of fruit and all the different labels and all of those things. I expect that. And that's going away. And also the bolts and nuts in the other stores is going away. Nobody's making a big thing about it. They're just looking for something else. Well, let's continue to do that. Eventually, we will have one thing we can buy on that subject, period. And it'll be in a line to get that. And if you want to see that, just look at some of the stuff you can see in movies and stuff about Russia. From the teens to the 30s. Look at the difference in Russia from the teens to the 30s. It's night and day, folks. It's night and day. And I just said 20 years, didn't I? Teens to the 30s. That change started right after World War I. So we can say World War ending about 18, and the Russian power in about 23 began to destroy that country with gusto. Watch, again, I'm back to Dr. Zhivago. You've got the whites and the reds. The reds are the bad guys. I mean, they are the bad. Well, they won, by the way. They won. They took over. And they called themselves the Democratic Socialist Republic. They called a tyranny a democratic country. See, the words change. Use whatever word you want. Well, they must have been democratic because that's what the title says. And they had elections, too. Yes, sir, they had elections. You could go in and elect whoever you wanted. But there's only one guy on the ballot, so it's hard to choose. You understand what I'm saying here?
Yep.
They use the same facade and pretend like it's the full package. But behind the facade, it's all black. In that case, I'm talking about the color of the item, not the color of people. They'll get that mixed up. Someday somebody will say, well, you said the evil, black is evil. I didn't say that at all. The black color is not evil. Black is not evil. It's the way it is signified. When you look behind the facade, that's all black. And that is evil. White. White is, if it is all white, we would consider it good. That's the way we look at colors, not people. I've got to be very clear about that.
Sadly, yeah. But
it used to have to be. People understood. In fact, black people could hold their heads up. They could. They used to be able to with pride. I know they were slaves and it was tough. I know the late 1800s, they had strange fruit hanging from the trees. I know those things. I went to the Jackson, Andrew Jackson Museums, and I saw all the stuff there. And you realize that the Andrew Jackson Museums have been turned on to a demonstration of how blacks were treated in the late 1800s?
Oh, yeah. Yep. They're changing history.
It's been provoked. That's been screwed up. I don't know the right word. I'm forgetting words all over the place now. I can't even remember my name.
That's all right. You're getting the message across, which is important.
Yeah, I just can't remember the words, everybody. So you have to help me with the words. Corrupt. Let me just mention that. The FBI, I said that earlier, corrupt, weaponized, and unconstitutional. Three charges against it. Now this guy on the... I'm troubled by that. What do you mean troubled? And the guy who just left, did he really leave? That was what I brought up. Did he really leave? No, probably not.
When you have to ask questions like that, yes. Man, are we in trouble?
Promoted.
Right?
He was promoted to another job that paid him more money.
Probably.
Now, I don't know that that's true, But that's what's happened over and over and over again.
Or they get some cushy media gig, you know. Peter Strzok, yeah. Right?
Truman. Truman had people in his around his regime at the time that found out they were communists. So what did they do? Moved them to the World Bank and gave them a new job. Did you hear that? They didn't take them out. They moved them to a new job. They don't take something away. They change the words. They change it. We used to have, let me see, they were talking about the region, American, North American region. Well, that became bad. So now they call it the Security and Prosperity, Safety Prosperity Committee. Things like that. They just changed the words. They changed the name. Oh, then it's different. No, is it different? It's the same thing with a new name. Tell you what, I'm going to call roosters hens from now on. By the way, that's what we do today. Let's call roosters pigs from now on.
There you go.
Now the roosters are going to be pigs. From now on, roosters are pigs. And it becomes that because we listen. And then when we look at that, we say, oh, there's a pig there crowing his head off in the morning. Because we're taught to believe what the government tells us to believe. And the government changes the words. They change the vocabulary. They've changed the word welfare from an honest, true item to a give people something to destroy their lives.
That's right.
That's what welfare has become. Give away money and things to people to destroy their lives and their futures and their children's lives and their grandchildren's lives. Because that's what the welfare program has done.
Yeah.
War and poverty, and never, no such thing. That particular event was, let's have more poverty. That's what the war on poverty really meant. Let's have more poverty. It didn't mean let's have less. It meant let's have more. But we think that war means try to do away with it. But in these cases, war meant let's do more. They just changed the word and faked you out. Had they announced it properly, they would have said, we're going to have a program to make more poverty. Now, that would have been correct. All you have to do is look at the history from then till now.
Well, Inflation Reduction Act? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No.
Oh, here's another one. Here's another one. We're decreasing the deficit.
Right.
Our budget this year only went up 500 instead of 700 million, billion. So therefore, we have decreased the budget. We borrowed $200 million less, and that decreased the budget. Come on, folks. But that's what we believe because that's what they say, and we accept it. Then the media blasted across the government is decreasing the federal deficit. They decreased it this year. Yay, it went down. Yay. All that went down, but they didn't spend quite as much as they did last year. And next year, they'll double that. We used to have, I don't know if we still do or not, we used to have debates about raising the limit.
The debt ceiling, yeah.
We used to have debates about that. I don't hear about those anymore. Well, it didn't make any difference anyway because all we did when we got to the limit is raise it. That's not controlling anything. Oh, we're getting close, so raise it another 200 million. Oh, we're getting close, so raise it another 200 million. Oh, we're staying right within our budget. Raise it 200 million. We're staying right within the budget. Raise it another 200 million. Folks, that's what's going on. And we're not paying any attention because they keep saying we're right in the budget. Okay. We think that's good. Let's just use something that happens every day to our lives. We think when we pay for our home, we're paying principal and interest on a loan we got from the bank.
Yeah.
Smoke and mirrors. You never pay principal and interest. There is no principal and interest in real life. You never pay it, yet it says that every time you look at it, your balance is this much, and this is much worth the principal, and this much went to interest. Every month your statement will say that, and it is not true. But I can't get that point across to anybody. They don't want to know that.
But your books, Bathroom Economics, and all of your books explain what's really going on. And I'm so excited to hear about sending the Constitution in ebook format. I can't wait. I can't wait for that. And I can't wait for you to finish your book on banking as well. Can't wait for that.
I'm working on all of them.
That's good. Folks,
trying to do more and more. Trying to reach another market that people want.
There you go.
Thank you much for listening to me rag on. I'll do it again next week.
All right. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Get his books and share them with everyone you know. Folks, that'll do it for me tonight. May God bless each and every one of you, and have a great night.